Good morning, everybody in London, in Johannesburg, on Summit, in South Africa, and I think on the webcast. Welcome to Investec's annual results presentation. I think I will get going. And if we look at the kind of environment that we've been operating over the last year, it certainly was an improved operating environment from the year before. We did see a strong rise in equity markets, and we have seen a relatively stable interest rate environment. Interest rates coming down a bit in South Africa, going up in Australia and flat in the UK. Exchange rate, clearly the pound has been particularly weak, and all these things have an impact on our results. But certainly, compared to the previous year we were in a financial storm, this was a much easier year in which to operate. I think, as a consequence, our strength as an organization, both during and post the financial crisis, coupled with our continued investment in the brand, has paid off for us. If we look at what we've done, and I think there are a number of key messages, certainly the first thing is that we've strengthened our capital position. We've met our Tier 1 targets comfortably across all our banking businesses in all our geographies, and we've also met our total capital targets in all our geographies and across all our banking businesses. If I just talk briefly, Tier 1 ratio in Investec Limited 12.1%, Investec Bank 11.7%, Investec PLC 11.3%, Investec Bank PLC 12.3%, and Investec Australia, Bank Australia 16.6%. So I think that's the first thing that we've done in this over the last 18 months. I think the second thing is a significant enhancement of liquidity, and we've had a very successful deposit gathering strategy. I think we've increased our retail deposits across the globe. I think in the UK alone we took in 30,000 new clients, and we therefore have very little reliance on wholesale deposits, with our total cash and near cash doubling over the period to just over £9 billion. I think clearly the total deposits have gone up by 51%, and we have really concentrated on diversifying our deposit base. If we look at the next key point, is that we have significant growth in funds under management, up 51% to £73.6 billion. I think Investec Asset Management has performed particularly well here, with record net inflows of brand new money of £4.7 billion. You've seen us adopt a strategy of positioning our private wealth business through the acquisition, proposed, recommended acquisition of Rensburg Shepherd. Just to give you some clarity on that, the shareholders' vote will take place on the 1st of June. Which is in a couple of weeks' time, and the court approval and implementation date will be on the 25th of June. And that we are attempting, and what we will do with this acquisition, which I'll talk about in a moment, is consolidate that business globally. I think impairments and defaults have continued to rise, as we mentioned in the past, but we certainly believe they have peaked and that the impairment charge has flattened out. And although the default and core loans and on core loans and advances has ticked up in the past while, that's because it takes time to clear the problem loans, and clearly one needs economies to start moving forward, which they have been until this European crisis. So we have seen an improvement of late and beginning of clearing some of the backlog, but it does take time. So as a consequence of all this, we delivered a very stable performance. Our operating profit before tax is up 9%, from £397 million to £432 million. If we look at it before impairments and tax, it was up by 10% to £718 million, and attributable earnings was up about 15% to £309 million. Because we got more shares in issue, our adjusted earnings per share was up only 6.4% relative to the 15% growth in absolute earnings. Our dividends are up 23%, and I think we did take a decision last year, not last year, the year before, to cut our dividend, and I think now you're seeing as our earnings retrace and as our capital position has improved significantly, you can start getting back into a progressive dividend. So and that's hence why the dividend is up 23%. Seeing strong growth in tangible net asset value per share at 22%, and we saw 10% growth in core loans and advances. A lot of that was currency, was really flat around the globe, reflecting quite low demand for credit. If we look at our financial targets, ROEs at 20% target is a difficult target to achieve in this kind of environment. Currently is at 13.3%, which is down on the previous year because we've got a lot more capital as we bolstered our capital strength. Growth target is also difficult to achieve. Our target was 10% plus inflation, so that was below target, but still at least we're back into a growing environment, having dropped by 25% during the difficult conditions that we experienced in 2009. And then our cost to income ratio is well within our range at 57.8%. Costs did rise slightly faster than revenue in this period, as activity levels were particularly muted or below trend. Dividend is within our cover range, in the middle, towards the upper end of the cover range, but certainly not at the lower end of the cover range, at 2.8 times. And as I mentioned at the beginning, our capital adequacy is well within our target range. So overall, one is comfortable with where we are, but certainly ROE is difficult to achieve in this environment. And we do look at that number through the cycle. If we look at our business model, I think we have said continually over the last while that our strategic focus is to build our recurring revenue base. And although that didn't really take place in this particular year, strong foundations for this have been put in place during the year. So we have revised our mission statement to recognize that we're not just a specialist bank, but that we're a specialist bank and asset manager, and we put those words into our mission statement to clarify what we are is in essence to our people. I think our business model is evolving, and there are two distinct spaces. One is specialist banking, the other is asset management, and we live in a world where it requires a high degree of transparency and appropriate management of conflicts of interest, and therefore we have to keep these businesses very separate. So within specialist banking, as you're familiar, we offer a broad range of services from advisory, structuring, lending, transactional banking, securities trading, market making, and principal investments. And these services are aimed at our government, institutional, corporate and high net worth individuals in all our core geographies. We are, on the other side, in the process of creating a global wealth unit, and that we are in the process of integrating our wealth unit around the world into a single entity. To serve the investment needs of our private clients or high net worth clients, either directly or through our private banking network. Operating completely independently of these structures is Investec Asset Management, which its sole provision is that of providing investment management services to its predominantly global institutional base. And we do keep these businesses very, very separate. So the banking side of the business has nothing to do with the asset management side of the business. Asset management make its own decisions and manage its own portfolios with no interference from anyone. So it is run as an independent business. I think if we just look at the structure overall, on the one side we have capital light and fiduciary businesses that will make up our asset management and wealth management businesses. And then our advisory and transactional banking business, also capital light and fiduciary orientated. On the other side, we have capital intensive and proprietary businesses, which are our principal investments, market making, our structured transactions, and our lending business, where we take a lot of capital risk in those businesses. And that's how we've attempted to balance our portfolio. And long term, this does give us a sustainable model as an organization. We're less dependent on continual capital raisings to grow. Moving on to our operational review, and I'm going to start off just introducing it, then I'm going to call our colleagues around the various divisions to talk directly to you, as has been common practice for us over the past years. I think if we look at our divisional performance, you still see diversification. I think if you combine our asset management business made about 19% of our operating profit, capital markets a very strong year at 41%, with the rest of the business coming in between 8% and 10%. We have shown the private wealth business separately from private clients, because that's when we integrate that with Rensburg, that will probably show in this particular year would have been about 10-11% of operating profits. So the fund management side, when I combine asset management and private client, would in future generate about 30% of our operating profit. So that just gives you an overall picture. I'm going to start off by asking Hendrik de Toey, who runs Investec Asset Management, to talk to you, and then I'll just click your slide forward, Hendrik.
Fine.
Okay.
Thank you very much. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. What happened to me this morning happened once before, and that same day we won €1 billion after the pitch, but I arrived at the pitch with a suit which wasn't matching. Between the trousers and the jackets were different colors. The same happened this morning when I was having my coffee at Marylebone Station at 22-7, as I do every morning. I saw in the sunlight that I had slightly grayish trousers. Luckily, the city can still deliver, and I'm here in a matching suit. May that be a better omen than the German government's intervention in markets last night, because we are dependent on markets in this business. Whatever we do, ultimately, the level of markets has the biggest say than anything else. But if you want to remember this year, therefore, and before we talk about the financials, there are three essential points I'd like to make. Firstly, investment performance is good, and our since inception numbers look really good across the board, and that's really what matters for our business. The rest is marginal. It's how well you perform that determines the attraction of future assets. Secondly, total assets under management now, or at the year end, was approximately £46 billion, which is a record. That was we got there by record net inflows, £4.7 billion, which came across the world from most of our distributions. All our distribution channels actually were positive, and most of our investment capabilities took positive net flows as well. And of course, we had market lift last year, which one should never forget. Finally, quite importantly, this business is run by a stable and very experienced team and operates within a very clear cultural environment. In other words, our people know exactly what they have to do, and we don't argue about nonsense in the morning. We focus on our clients' money. I think if we look at the financial results, 26% up to £83.4 million, which brings us to a five-year compound growth rate in earnings of 17% per annum. These results are robust, but we believe there continues to be momentum in the business as we scale. I mentioned long-term investment performance. We again earned about 11% of revenues off performance fees. We've been in that same ratio for a while, which means we've been beating certain benchmarks as we've done in the past. But interestingly, 95% of our institutional track records have beaten their benchmarks or their GIPS benchmarks since inception. Our distribution footprint has widened significantly over the last few years, and I'm delighted to report that most of these new ventures are operating at successfully and have attracted the kind of monies, in fact more monies than we expected. Cost control is always with us, but if you look at our numbers and say, why are the costs up? Well, the costs are up because we share the results with the employees. That allows us to retain the best people in the industry and continue to compete with privately owned firms. And what's very important is that markets do have an impact, and volatility can affect our business, particularly the mutual fund side of our business. So we've entered this year, despite the additional volatility, on the front foot. We're attracting business, and the pipeline looks solid. Having said this, we've been in the business long enough to know that we have to have humility, and we have to have the willingness to face up to the unexpected. And clearly the politicians are doing their best to dish that up. In conclusion, we're proud of our organizational culture, where I think we've proven over the last 19 years that good investment professionals feel at home in this environment. We've built something from a startup which is now starting to get real momentum. And today we have a worldwide distribution footprint, which means we can talk to clients wherever they are in the world and serve them with a product appropriate to the world we live in. Within the coming year, we will continue the momentum, but we are really going to put the emphasis on ensuring that the market sees us as an independent, pure-play asset manager, because that's what we is, or what we are. Sorry for the English, boys. I come from Boer War country. I'd like to thank everyone in the business, and all our clients and shareholders for the support of the past year. And I now hand over to Private Wealth, and Stephen will do that. Thank you very much.
Okay, at this point in time, this business comprises primarily of Investec private securities in South Africa and our 47.3% stake in Rensburg Shepherd. Obviously, going forward, I'll talk about that in a moment, but if we just look at the results in the meantime, operating profit is up 7.4%. I think the assets under management have gone up a lot, but the average indices were flat for the year and activity levels were low in this particular year, as private investors, you know, always come into the markets later than the institutional people. I think funds under management grew by 38% from 16.3 million billion pounds to 22.5, and South African funds under management grew by 33% from 85 billion rand to 113 billion rand. The cost to income ratio is consistent at 64.6% compared to 64.7% last year, and the ROE is 101%. Now, these are high ROE businesses, in contrast to banking businesses, which are much lower ROE businesses because they are capital intensive. And that's why you can see what we're trying to do is build these businesses so they balance the banking side of our business. I think if we look at going forward, and I think this is an important feature of what we're trying to achieve, is that I've given you an update on where we are with Rensburg. I think it does give us a base to consolidate our businesses in the UK. In South Africa, we have restarted the integration process, and I think we are rolling that out right now of integrating our private client portfolio management business with whatever private wealth management we have in the private bank into a single business. The next step will be for us to integrate our private bank portfolio business in London with our Rensburg Shepherd business, and then the third step will to be integrate them into a global wealth management platform, and once that is all achieved, we will have a business that has 27 billion pounds of third party funds under management. I think it will be meaningful and sizable and a very strong platform from which to grow. So that just gives you a clear understanding of what we're trying to do as a firm in the wealth management space. If we look at our property business, also a very satisfactory performance, up 35%. I think this business is again a business that we're trying to build globally, and I think we've made quite a lot of effort in terms of moving in that direction, and we are in the process of launching funds in all different geographies, which do take time to launch, but we still think that these things we will achieve in this particular financial year. I think operating profit is up 35%, as I mentioned. Cost income ratio is low because again it's fairly capital intensive, but it does have quite a high ROE because it's a mixture of, there's a fund management side and then there's a principal investing side, and I think that we have very talented people in this space, and they've managed this business exceptionally well through very difficult conditions, and there have been a lot of opportunities in this space which we still think there will be going forward. So again, medium term, we're attempting to build this into a global business as opposed to a pure domestic business, which it was a couple of years ago. Okay, I'm now going to call on Steve Halbron to talk to you about our private banking business. Steve, I already pushed your slide forward one.
Thank you, Stephen. Good morning. All of the markets in which our private bank operates have had a very difficult 18 months to 2 years. As Henrik already alluded to, we have experienced unprecedented economic turmoil over this period. This has obviously presented a set of challenges, both to the entrepreneurial clientele that we serve, as well as to our business. Having said that, we are quietly confident that we have worked hard getting on top of the issues that this crisis has presented. We are now emerging with our value proposition very much intact and with an enhanced competitive positioning in all of the niches in which we do business. The business has returned a net profit of 37.1 million pounds, being 54% off the prior year. There are two key themes that have affected this result. Firstly, a sharp decline in activity levels and credit extension. This has negatively impacted gross operating revenues right across the piece. And secondly, we have experienced a 28% increase in the impairment charge to £115 million. Now, these themes will have played out differently in our core geographies in different ways. Our Irish business has had the most significant impact on this year's earnings. In Ireland, the banking system and property markets were severely affected by the events over the last 2 years. On the back of this, we have experienced a material increase in impairments. Our net loss for the year in this jurisdiction was €32 million, compared to a €6 million loss in the prior year. Now, we believe that given current market assumptions, we have now adequately provided for expected losses in this portfolio, and we have a dedicated recoveries team focusing on impaired transactions. It must be said, though, that relative to its competitors in the Irish market, our business has held up well. In the UK business, excluding Ireland, the net profit for the year is down 25% to £35 million. Whilst we have experienced a moderate recovery in activity levels, these are still considerably below those previously experienced. This has dampened operating revenues, but the interesting trend to identify is that the drop-off in operating revenues has been partly offset by a £15 million improvement in the impairment charge. In South Africa, despite a drop-off in activity levels, our business has done well. It did well to maintain its operating revenues in line with the prior year, but did experience a substantial 87% increase in the impairment charge. The net profit for the year in South Africa was down 33% to 349 million rand. In Australia, our net profit of 1.8 million was in a similar range to the prior year, with the drop-off in operating revenues being counterbalanced essentially by a marginal improvement in impairments. So in brief, that should cover our geographical performance. As can be seen, we remained healthy and profitable in all jurisdictions, albeit at lower levels, other than in Ireland, where we incurred a substantial loss. This, together with the increased impairments in South Africa, has had the single biggest impact on this year's results. Moving our attention to the balance sheet then, and in line with last year's stated objectives, we have, firstly, focused on liquidity as a priority to asset growth. In doing so, we have substantially increased our private client deposit base, our product range, and our distribution capabilities. Specifically, in the UK, we have acquired an excess of 32,000 clients during the year and grown our deposit book by £2 billion. And in South Africa, we have achieved similar successes in growing our private client deposits by an excess of 10 billion rand. Secondly, our growth in loans and advances in all home currencies was largely flat, and this is in line with our stated objectives of last year. And thirdly, we have diligently focused on all non-performing assets. There is a belief that we have now seen the peak impairment charge and have adequately provided for anticipated losses. We are now starting to experience some improvements across the portfolio. In summary then, this has clearly been a very tough period for our clients and for our business. In response, we have repriced our loans and advances, we have increased our deposits by £2 billion in the UK and by 10 billion rand in South Africa, we have contained our costs, and we are focused on our non-performing loans. This has provided us with a solid foundation to build on. Throughout this period, we have been absolutely relentless in our commitment towards our clients and in building our brand. As a result, we have maintained a momentum, and we have emerged front-footed and focused. We are now in a position to take advantage of identified opportunities in all of the markets in which we participate. Moving into the new financial year, we are confident that we can grow our profits meaningfully from this base. I'm now going to hand you over to Andy Lee, who will cover the investment bank.
Thanks, Steve, and good morning, everybody. Over the last 2 years, we've implemented a number of strategic initiatives to improve the quality, client, and investment portfolios to create an integrated entrepreneurial business. These improved level of earnings of £62.5 million, up 34% from the previous year, have been achieved as a result of a mixed performance across geographies and businesses. In reviewing the numbers, it's important to recognize two things. Firstly, the market volatility, which resulted in lower activity levels and downward fair value adjustments in certain investment portfolios. And secondly, the respective positioning and performance of the diversified portfolio of business investment banking business in our geographies. The agency and advisory business made a positive contribution this year. We continue to build our platforms in all of the geographies, and took advantage of a changing competitive landscape to employ a number of senior operators across the business, including a new head of equity research in the UK, a new head of corporate finance in Australia, and a focused resource securities team in Australia, which resulted in us becoming a member of the ASX for the first time. I must mention, in South Africa, we received a prestigious 10-year award as recognition for our consistent performance in M&A activity over many years. If we turn to principal investments posted improved results over last year of £55 million, up 81%, supported by realizations and an increase in the underlying value of the portfolio of investments. In South Africa, we achieved a lower level of profitability, mainly due to small realizations and no revaluations to offset the material funding costs in the direct investment portfolio. In the private equity portfolio, we generated a consistent level of sustainable earnings from our balanced portfolio, which endorses our strategy of continuing to make new investments and build value in our portfolios independently of asset sales and stock market conditions. More than 50% of the total income in this activity is represented by dividends and a return of capital. In Hong Kong and Australia, we had strong performances from our principal investment businesses, which achieved good realizations. In terms of our consolidated investments, the developmental nature of IDATEC and the difficult market conditions of the ethanol industry, in which global ethanol operates, resulted in us consolidating losses for both these investments this year. Looking forward, the outlook is going to be predominantly driven by equity markets. Our offering has expanded and our clients have grown in size and quality. We have continued to invest in building the capacity and quality of our platforms and have made a number of key hires across the businesses. The majority of the companies in our principal investment portfolios are trading in line with expectations and the overall outlook remains positive. Given the investment we have made over many years, we believe our business is exceptionally well positioned to capture the opportunities which will present themselves in both our agency and principal businesses. I now hand over to Dave van der Walt.
Good morning, everybody. This time last year, we anticipated an operating environment for capital markets where South Africa was likely to be least affected. The business had a robust credit portfolio. However, there was a risk of reduced activity as the effects of the recession started to hit. In the UK and Australia, the environment was anticipated to remain weak. Despite this, trading conditions remained favourable as the dislocated markets presented opportunities. Impairments were likely to continue, but overall, the changed competitive landscape presented a good opportunity for us to grow our franchise. In truth, it's been a year of two halves. In South Africa, the first half, activity levels were largely unaffected. However, in the second half, there was a significant slowdown. In the UK and Australia, the first half was challenging but presented distressed trading opportunities, and the second half saw the green shoots of the recovery starting to take effect with the compression of credit spreads and increased market activity. With this as a backdrop, we are pleased to report a 26.7% increase in operating profit from £141.4 million to £179.1 million. The performance was attributed to the following factors. Net interest income was up 8.1%, although net core loans and advances were down by 6.1% due to lower activities. The increase in net interest income came from improved credit margins and also the effect of investment in structured credit. Net fees and commission income dropped by 19.3%, largely due to lower activity levels in South Africa and also reduced activity in our equity finance operations in Ireland during the crisis. This was offset to some extent by large fees earned out of our project finance business in Australia. Income from principal transactions was up significantly as we took advantage of the credit markets in all three geographies. Impairments were slightly improved by 11.5% from the previous year, and we should see a substantial reduction in these levels going forward. Overall, Overall operating income after impairments was up 27.4% and expenses increased by 14.9% as a result of expenditure in the UK to grow the franchise and also increased variable remuneration off the back of better performances in both the UK and Australia. Kensington continues to perform well and we currently have the lowest levels of repossessed stock in more than 3 years. In addition, we are seeing improvements in arrears and in cash collections as a result of measures taken by our special services team and also improved market conditions. There's been no substantial change to our business and we remain committed to our core products and markets. We have taken a number of steps to embed new disciplines into the business, learning from lessons from the past. Looking at the environment going forward, in our core geographies, corporate South Africa remains extremely liquid and activity levels are unlikely to increase until the second half of the year. Bad debt levels should reduce significantly and volatility in local products remains low and that affects our trading volumes. In the UK and Australia, we are seeing increased activity levels and should see substantially lower impairments. The UK political and regulatory environment presents risks to the banking industry and is by no means a certainty that the economic recovery is with us. Volatility remains high and this still presents good trading opportunities. Overall, we are well positioned to take advantage of a scenario which is represented by patchy and moderate economic growth over the coming year. The competitive landscape has changed and this is enabling us to build our franchise in both the UK and Australia while the system still has to adjust. We will remain focused targeting markets where we can be distinctive and specialist and although the environment remains uncertain, we have a good base of which we believe we can grow. I'll now put you back to Stephen.
Thanks, Dave. I think just to wrap up on the numbers, I think our central funding area, if you look at our trade finance, was really flat. Our central funding area was up marginally from 7.7%. I think there were a number of features here. Firstly, we benefited from the debt buybacks, and whatever we made on the debt buybacks, was reduced by the fact that our endowment interest on our capital was down by about 100 million quid. So I think that affected the central funding performance overall, so positive and negative. Central serves were up by 10%, that would be by and large exchange rate. And so overall group serves and other activities were flat during the year. If we look at other key things, tax rate down marginally from 21% to 20.6. Weighted number of shares in issue up because we did that placing in July to enable us to buy back our debt. Goodwill impairments fairly moderate, £3.5 million, relates largely to asset management business we bought in South Africa about 10 years ago when we bought Fetcher, and that amortizes as the books run off. And then this accounting phenomenon of losses attributable to minorities is really an accounting nonsense. So we have the loss in the top and we have to take it out at the bottom, and it always causes havoc, but still, you know, that's an explanation of it. It relates to our losses in the private equity business of £12.3 million and this translation of preferred securities which we have hedged from euros into sterling, where we made a loss of £6.9 million, of which it's all attributable to minorities. So we have to add that back to our income, and that's really for the analysts. But it is an accounting nonsense. So I think that's the numbers. I think one point to make is that, as we said in our trading update, we said that South Africa would be down, which was down 1%. The UK would be well ahead of last year, it was up 23%, and Australia double well ahead, it was up 650% off the back of a really weak year the year before and a reasonable recovery here this year. So that could just give you the geographic split of our revenue stream. If we move to where we're going, I think the key thing for us is to continue to build our franchise. As you'll note, we do have a balanced portfolio of businesses that help us cope with the volatility in the world. Like this environment was very good for capital markets, but not good at all for the private bank. We have a core underlying business that will generate revenue no matter what. In our asset management businesses and our some of our other activities, I would say half of capital markets is like that. Private banking is normally like that, but this, you know, we've been through a massive, trauma over the last couple of years which would have affected that business. And the investment bank is also half like a core business income there every year, and then the rest depending on the environment. So that's how we've always tried to balance. That's why we only went down 25% when the market ceased, and many of our peer groups around the world went down more than 100%. I think the next point is that we are continuing aligning our business model, and we said to you that we are trying to build our non-lending type revenue, because that is very capital intensive, and we think that the foundation is in place for that now with the strong growth in funds under management, the initiatives that we've taken in wealth management. We also would be looking to grow our transactional banking business. We always try and run the business fairly tight. Bernard is a big man on headcount, and don't ask him if you can hire more people. He watches the headcount like a hawk. But you know, we still have to grow the business, and therefore to grow our business, which is a people business, we still have to hire more people. Our expenses did run ahead of our income in this year because of the low levels of activity. But overall, if we go back to 2002 when we first listed in London, we've grown revenue by 13%, expenses by 9.6%, so the crocodile's jaws are wide open, and we will attempt to continue to achieve that as we move forward. It's like building revenue faster than expenses. I think certainly around the world you would have seen that we have a continually strong effort to build our brand. We never stopped when life got tough, and I think that enabled us to get some very good sponsorships and events that we took on, and I think that certainly helped us build our brand and helped us broaden our exposure in our core geographies. And that is something that we believe will be ongoing. We don't give away the farm when we do that, but we obviously have to spend some money, but I think it is money well spent from our point of view. I think our focus is very clearly on our revenue drivers. I think last year we said that we would only want moderate loan growth. I think we're happy to grow our loan portfolios in this environment going forward. I think the problem is clients do not want to borrow, and that is always going to be the challenge, is trying to find the balance. We would seek to further grow our funds under management through our distribution networks, which I think are all well established around the world, and as Hendrik mentioned, he does distribute his products everywhere. When we consolidate the wealth management business, we'll also start broadening the distribution network. We will look obviously to grow transaction activity, and that's really by getting a lot more clients, and that is always going to be something that we will strive to do. That was tough in the last year, other than you saw our success on the deposit front, where we got a lot of new clients into the business, which hopefully we can start marketing other products to as we move on. And we will continue with our efforts to grow customer deposits. We have to be more careful now because we've got a lot of cash and we don't want to burn too many holes in our pockets, so we're more selective in terms of the products that we are trying to distribute. But certainly that is still a strategy of ours, is, you know, is insurance policy, have a lot of liquidity so that you can navigate these ups and downs that you get in the market. What's also vitally important is maintaining the quality of our balance sheet. We're a lowly geared institution. I think, you know, when you look at European banks and you look at banks around the world, they were 40 to 60 times geared. We're sitting now at 12.5 times, even including securitized assets. I mean, if you look at our loans to capital ratio, 5.5 times, and then you look at our loans to deposits, I'm not sure that there are many banks with a better ratio than 76%. I know HSBC are around that number. Most banks are funded in wholesale markets, or a portion of the activity funded in wholesale markets, and you can see now we're totally funded by customer deposits, as is our surplus cash. So it is for us now to try and capture the opportunities. I think we have a lot of increased recognition, and we need to take advantage of that. And therefore, you know, we use the words front-footed that not everyone likes, but certainly as an organization, we are trying to make sure our people are out there open for business. We heard the Chancellor yesterday talking about UK is open for business. We certainly as Investec are open for business and will continue to try and build our franchise. So in summary, this is a period where we've continued to build our capital, our liquidity and third-party assets under management. We believe that we have a strong foundation in place to both grow both our non-capital intensive asset management businesses as well as our core specialist banking businesses. I think we all know that the economic situation does remain uncertain and there is a fair amount of volatility, but we are oriented towards capturing the opportunities in all our core geographies. And that is an overview of the results. We will now move into questions, so thank you all for attending, and I'll start off in, we cross straight to South Africa, see if Louis or Ruby are there to get them to open the over. They think I'll plant you there. I don't know if you guys are there today.
Good morning, Mr. Kossoff, it's Ruby. Mr. Kossoff, well done. The results show a massive improvement, and thanks for the increased dividend. Inevitably, there's a speck in the ointment, and I'm referring to the cost-to-income ratio, which shows a roughly 2% increase. In peripherally passing, you mentioned Bernard and his watchful eye over the headcount, but even given that, let's be specific and take as an example the numbers from the asset management. The cost-to-income ratio has gone down 0.3%, yet assets under management have increased substantially by 60.9%. I therefore see no economies of scale whatsoever and ask why it is that the cost-to-income ratio in this specific division hasn't come down.
I think there are two things. The first thing is that you will see the benefits of the growth in funds under management next year. I think obviously our average funds under management were higher, but the overall indices were not higher on average during the period that we operated within. So you won't see that much benefit from scale. I think the second point is that obviously as the income goes up, so will the variable remuneration go up in that business. So I think those would be the two things. But you would still see a benefit from scale as one sees the benefit of that strong growth in funds under management come through. But you would not see it in the year it happens. You would start seeing it in the next year. You want to add anything, Andrew? Okay. Yeah. Connection.
Hello, Mr. Kossoff, it's Louis Pinter from Anglo Rand Securities. We don't see you, I hope you hear us. First of all, congratulations, as Louis said, with the good results, excellent results. You are simply the best, Mr. Kossoff. But the main thing that I want to thank you for is the increase in the dividend. I've already sent Granny an SMS and told her to go and buy those shoes for the grandchildren. Thank you very much.
Who else we got in Johannesburg? Ronnie, you're not there today. He normally comes the question. I think all the analysts have changed, so we don't know all the names anymore.
Steve, in terms of your current, could you just unpack your level of annuity income per division and per group, and what your objective is going forward?
Yeah, it was a drop to about 60% this year. If you look at the long-term trend, it's between 60 and 70%. And clearly our aim is to build that because we want to build non-banking type revenue. It will take time. So if you want to unpack it per thing, I mean, Ursula Prince, there's a big book that you can go and look at on the internet that will give you a lot of detail. I want to know all the details down here. You got more questions, Ronnie? No? Any more questions from Johannesburg? Okay, I'll move to London then. Is there a delay or can they hear us? They can hear us. In London? I've asked you if you're going to open the bowling, eh?
Good morning. A couple, if I may. First of all, capital. Clearly, the balance sheet's very, very strong. But I was just curious, given the mix of your businesses, how much of a regulatory capital impact you think Basel III will have? And I have a separate related question.
Look, I think we're quite well positioned for Basel III. But we don't know exactly what is going to happen. I mean, you know, there's drafts that are floating around. We don't know what the end game is going to be, but we think we're fairly well positioned for it. To quantify it, I don't know at this stage.
No impact.
Yeah, but we have to wait for it. So the day says no impact or very little impact, but we'll wait to see what comes.
And the second question is the mix of your business. Clearly you've segmented out capital intensive and capital non-intensive businesses, and I appreciate that you'll see some volatility in the split between the two through the economic cycle, but just an indication as to how you would like to see that mix shift over the next cycle.
Well, again, it would depend on the season. So I mean, our aim would be to try and build as much of the non-volatile, well, even the annuity income is volatile because, you know, markets affect it. If the market takes a 30%, you are going to feel it. So it's never, it doesn't take away the volatility of the revenue stream, but it is a much higher quality income. So we try and build it as big as possible, but we don't want to lose our entrepreneurial flair, and we still want to, you know, make the excess money in the principal activities of trading, and we still want to serve our clients in the lending space. So if we could see that number rise from above the 30% that I think it's going to be, I'm talking about just the fund management side. We have other sources of revenue which are annuity in form. I mean, obviously net interest is annuity because it's there when you open your doors, and it's at least subject to margin squeezes, but it's annuity. So if we could get the annuity back about 70, that would be good for us. You want more? Where's the guy from Macquarie? Is he here today? You knew one from Macquarie. Where's the other fella? Huh? Tell him we're missing him. He normally asks the tough questions. Yeah. Okay, I can be tough. You're going to ask me? Nothing. No, okay. Okay. Anyone else? Okay, well then that's it. You want to go back to Johannesburg? What? We don't also have that. Yeah, Willem is no longer an analyst, so he won't be on the radio. Is that it? Joburg? No. You go back to Joburg one last time because some of them wake up late. They're all too busy worrying about the World Cup. Okay. Thank you very much for attending, and anyone who wants to ask anything offline, you're welcome to. Thank you.